There was once a great sage named Choni HaMe'agel. And there was a time of drought. It wasn't raining in Israel. They were praying and it didn't rain. So the people came to Choni and they said, "We know that you, when you come before God, you're like a son before God. He listens to you. Pray for us." Now in those times, from the time of the Torah, for centuries, they used to have ovens that were connected to the earth. Their oven, their tanu, they'd connect to the earth, and that's how they had insulation. The heat would stay in the oven. So they had earthenware ovens, which they'd connect to the ground, and it hadn't rained, so they had left their ovens outside. All summer long, their ovens were outside, and it hadn't started raining, so they left their oven outside. And Choni told them, "I'm going to go pray, but you guys take your ovens inside, because once it starts raining, the ovens will get ruined." The Talmud tells us there are rabbis who could pray, and they know that when they pray, God does what they ask for. We find Yoshua, when he prayed, he threw himself on the ground in front of the Jewish people, and he got his request. Our sages say, one may only throw himself on the ground before God when he is a leader, and everyone looks on, if he is certain that his prayers will be answered. Otherwise, it's a chilul Hashem. That's why when we do tachnun, we don't do it on the ground. We hold our head up a little bit. We put our head up above our arm. We do it on the table. We don't go all the way down, because we're not on the level that we know our prayers will be answered. And the Tanakh teaches us, we have a book in Treyasar called Habakkuk. And Habakkuk was one of the prophets towards the end of the first temple. And he saw in prophecy how the temple would be destroyed, the Jews would be suffering, thousands would be murdered, children would be murdered, the children of Israel would be sent out into exile. He saw the tremendous cruelty that was imminent, and he turned to God, Tefillah l'Chavakuk. He turned towards God and said, "God, I'm drawing a circle in the sand, and I'm not leaving the circle till you answer me. How's this going to be? How can it be that the wicked are going to be so successful and the children of Israel are going to suffer so? How could you let the world go this way?" So Habakkuk was bothered with the eternal question of how could you have tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo? And God answered him. And in God's answer, God indicated to Habakkuk that he erred in posing his question so forcefully. He erred in the way he had spoken. And the conclusion of the book of Habakkuk is Habakkuk's prayer and apology before God for having questioned in God's ways that way. Choni HaMe'agel learned from Habakkuk. When Choni came to Davin, so he too drew a circle in the sand and said, "Ribon Shel Olam, I've come to pray before you because your children rely on me. They know that I'm like a son before you. And so, they need rain. I'm not leaving the circle till you give them rain." And it started drizzling. And Choni said, "God, I didn't ask for rain like that." And then it started raining buckets. Torrents were coming down. It would destroy everything. And Choni said, "I didn't ask for rain like that. That's rain that'll destroy. I asked for rains of blessing that will come down nicely." And it started raining nicely. It's raining nicely. And Shimon ben Shatach, who was the Nasi, sent a letter to Choni. He sent word to him. He said, "Ilmalei Choni ata. If not for the fact that you're Choni, gozrani alecha nidui, I would place you in ostracism for talking that way before your Creator. We would think, what was the point that Choni did wrong? That he stood in the circle." Some of the commentaries say what Choni did wrong was that his saying, "I don't want rain like this, I don't want rain like that." God gave him what he asked for him to start saying, no, I want rain exactly like that. So, some of the commentaries say that's what Choni did wrong. But Shimon ben Shatach said, "What can I do? You're like a son that's disrespectful to his father." He says, "Dad, I want this. Dad, no, I want that. No, I want this." And his father gives him what he wants. So God gave you what you wanted, and I can't declare ostracism on you. Our sages say that Choni was always wondering how could it be that Hayinu kecholmim, that the Jewish people will say after, they said after the 70 years in Babylon, it was all like a long dream. Could a person really dream for 70 years? That's what Choni wondered.
Historical dreams of nations.
Oh, so Choni understood that no, a person could dream for 70 years. And God made it that one day he was sitting under a tree and he fell asleep. And the tree grew over him and covered him up. And he slept for 70 years. And when he awoke, he went back home. And Choni HaMa'agel. And when he awoke, he went back home. And they asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Choni." They said, "No, Choni disappeared from the planet years ago. Choni is not here." So he said, "I'm Choni." "So who are you?" So the guy said, "No, I'm Choni's grandson. I'm his great grandson. Choni went to Beis Medrash, and he said he was Choni." They left. They started asking questions. Every question they asked, he answered. The rabbis said, "We haven't had such clarity in the Beis Medrash since the days Choni was here." Choni tried learning with the other sages, and there was no one who could be his counterpart. He left the Beis Medrash, he raised his eyes to heaven, and he said, "God, o chavruta o metuta, either give me companionship, people who I could talk to, or let me die." And Choni passed away. So these are some of the stories, the famous stories of Choni HaMa'agel. The concept of o chavruta o metuta, that a person, in order to live life well, has to have companionship. And companionship means we could learn together, we could talk together, we could combine, we could be together. It's a very important concept. People sometimes come through Machon Meir and no one knows what's going on in their lives. It doesn't have to be a rabbi you talk to. But if you're going to live life, you should have a friend. Chazal tell us, "Ukne lecha chaver," acquire a friend. Friend is something you have to invest in. No one's telling you who to choose as your friend. But you should have a friend. Person who goes through life and he doesn't take the time to invest in friendships and build relationships, well, he's going to have a life without friends. And a life without friends, Choni taught us, is o chavruta o metuta. Person should rather die than have a life without friends. People sometimes comfort themselves and they say, "My wife will be my friend." Yes, Bezrat Hashem, your wife will be your friend. But it's important to maintain a friend of the same gender as well. It's important to have. For women, they should maintain their girlfriends. For men, they should maintain their boyfriends. I, on the one end, when I teach chatanim, one of the things I tell them is, guys, when you get married, the first year, year and a half, 2 years, take the phone off the hook at night. Give yourself some time to be with your wife, to develop your relationship together. Be careful that your marriage doesn't become breeding ground for all the friends to be a part of your life. From day one, first build your own relationship and then bring the friends into your life. At the same time, one has to know that the role of a wife is a tremendous friend, but one also has to have their friends. And the Rishonim say there are different types of friendships. There are times that we meet a person and there's a click. In 1 second you feel like it's I wish this person were a part of my life, we could stay together forever. And sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong, but that's one type of friendship. But there are other types of friendship. There are friendships that evolve. And whatever the friendship is, in order for it to really grow, one has to invest in it. So we have a few things we could take away from the story. We learned the important halacha about not throwing oneself on the ground. One's a sage, so that's not so relevant to us. We learned the important halacha of not talking disrespectfully towards heaven. Even the prophet Habakkuk was punished for it. And Choni HaMa'agel, I always wondered, I didn't see any commentary that says it, but in my commentary, in my footnotes on the side of the Gemara, I wrote to myself, I wonder if the Gemara is juxtaposing these two stories to tell us, Shimon ben Shatach said to Choni, "You know, you spoke disrespectfully to heaven. I can't punish you because in heaven they listen to you. But if only I could, I would." And I asked myself, is the Gemara telling us the next story about how Choni HaMa'agel fell asleep for 70 years to tell us down below the courts couldn't punish him, but up above they did? What would the courts have punished him down below? Shimon ben Shatach said, "I would put you in Nidui. I'd put you in halachic ostracism if I could. But I can't." What'd they do in the courts above? They put him in ostracism. They put him to sleep for 70 years. And when he awoke, he had no one to talk to. He had his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, but he had no friends. It reached a point where he said, I can't live life this way. So maybe, I asked myself, maybe the Gemara is juxtaposing these two stories to tell us that in heaven they did take him to task for what he said. So who might have talked Bachoni Amagel? You see, he was greater than the greatest rabbis. I mean, the rabbis in his generation, we have single people throughout our history who could literally throw themselves down and get what they asked for. Choni Amagel could. We have to wonder, we'll end with a question, Choni Amagel saw that Habakkuk regretted what he said. And yet, Choni Amagel drew that circle in the sand. So what was Choni thinking? Meaning it seems like the circle in the sand has an effect. The circle in the sand probably was not what was wrong about what Habakkuk said, because then Choni wouldn't have learned from him. It must be what was wrong about what Habakkuk said was the content, not the concept of drawing a circle in the sand. There's one more point we should note, that our sages say it rained and rained and rained and continued raining till the people had to leave their homes and go up on hilltops because there was so much rain. So what did they have to eat? They were eating mushrooms. They couldn't harvest their crops. And we have to ask ourselves, did Choni win? Did he get what he wanted? The people came to Choni and said, just like you prayed for the rain to come down, pray for it to stop coming. And Choni said, we cannot pray for blessing to stop. In heaven they give. And to this point it's still a blessing. Right now you'll have to pick mushrooms. Eventually when everything subsides, then you'll have fields that are super saturated and you'll have great crops. So I can't pray for the rain to stop. And even though people had to leave their homes, there was massive flooding throughout Jerusalem, Choni couldn't pray for it to stop. So on two counts, we have to wonder, be it what Choni personally got, and be it what the Jewish people got, did Choni get what he asked for? Meaning in heaven, they indicated they don't deserve it. You're coming to us and requesting rain. Did the people repent? Are the people on the level that they deserve rain? No. So at first they said, we don't want to refuse you, Choni. We'll make it drizzle. And then they said, we don't want to refuse you, Choni, so we'll make it rain, destructive rain, because they don't deserve rain of blessing. But Choni, by his right, by his might, his spiritual might, he did bring rain of blessing. So these are points to think about.